Well, pressure is again building on the Turnbull government to adopt an emissions intensity scheme for the electricity sector. An EIS was first proposed by the government's own Climate Change Authority in August last year. But then it was ruled out pretty swiftly by the Prime Minister after a savage backlash from the Conservative wing of his party, which included from the South Australian Liberal Senator at the time, Cory Bernardi, and former leader, Tony Abbott. Still, the scheme has gone on to win support from the National Farmers Federation, as well as the renewables sector, energy market regulators, and many within the business world, including AGL, BHP and Origin Energy. After being rebuffed last time, South Australia's Premier, Jay Weatherill, is now trying to get an emissions intensity scheme back on the agenda for the next COAG leaders meeting. Jay Weatherill joins us from Adelaide. Premier, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran.
Malcolm Turnbull rebuffed you just 3 months ago at the last COAG meeting. Why are you chancing your arm again with this?
Well, because a quality idea is always going to win out in the end. And the Prime Minister is now increasingly isolated on this question. You've read the list of people. There's almost nobody. There's no energy commentator. There's no major industry group who is not on side now, perhaps with the exception of the coal industry. So there is a growing sense of unease around the nation about the fracturing of our national electricity market. And what we're seeing is rising prices, unreliability of supply. And while it was a debate perhaps a few months ago just about the energy sector and people who invest in it, it's now affecting the real economy. And we did have a Prime Minister that was simply trying to demonise South Australia and renewable energy, but that argument he's been unable to win that argument. And now across the nation, people are understanding that there's a much deeper issue about the failure to integrate essentially climate change policy and energy policy. And there's one quality idea out there that everybody supports to achieve that, and that's an emissions intensity scheme.
Well, for everyone listening, can you explain how putting in place an emissions intensity scheme would help with rising prices and reliability of supply? What difference would it make?
Well, essentially, it sets a baseline of acceptable emissions. So electricity generators are required to trade credits between themselves so that they comply with that baseline. So essentially, coal-fired power stations would fall below that baseline, while gas and renewables would actually be below it. And so coal-fired stations would continue to exit, but in a more orderly way, and it would help incentivise new investment in lower-emitting forms of energy. So basically what you'd see is a transitional fuel, more gas-fired generators. What that would do is introduce more competition into the market. The extra competition would drive down prices and would also deal with reliability issues.
Isn't there a problem with gas and pricing? I mean, it's what's affecting the real economy at the moment seems to be the price of gas. Mm. What difference would an EIS make to that? Isn't that about supply?
No,
Domestic supply?
One of the myths, I suppose, about the electricity market is that the cost of fuel has any real relationship with the price of electricity. We're seeing so much market power in the national electricity market. Large power companies are able to gouge extraordinary price increases when they get to points in the demand cycle where basically they can charge whatever they like. So what you'll have is by having new competitors that are actually able to drive down the price at those areas of peak demand, that'll have a dramatic effect, a downward effect on price increases. So at the moment, the price of gas is a detail. Even if it was to rise significantly, it's a detail in the overall cost of actually providing electricity because there's so much market power in this electricity market.
But it's not a detail in terms of the companies that are saying their forward gas bills have doubled in the last 6 months. AGL is predicting price hikes this winter and major gas shortages for manufacturers.
Look, gas is an issue that needs to be grappled with. But if your question is about the national electricity market and the way in which gas affects electricity prices, the price of fuel is a relatively small component of the price rises in electricity markets because the overwhelming dominant effect is the market power that's being wielded by a relatively small number of power companies.
And just to finish on this issue of the EIS, even if it does make the agenda, do you know whether there's support from other state and territory leaders? Have you been caucusing on this?
Well, Federal Labor supports it, and I'm confident that most of the state Labor jurisdictions would eventually support it. But this is an incredibly well-accepted and well-researched proposition that has the support of the chief scientist everywhere down to Malcolm Turnbull when he was leader of the opposition. I mean, this is not a controversial solution. The only thing that makes it controversial is essentially the disputes and disagreements inside the Liberal Party federally, where they can't actually advocate for something they know they should do.
Premier, I think there's probably just as much support in terms of submissions to the Finkel Review of submissions calling for the scrapping of the state-based renewable energy targets in favour of a national approach. Your state famously has a 50% target for 2025. Mm. Are you inclined to back off?
No, not at all. We'll continue to pursue that in the absence of federal leadership. I mean, it's also a misunderstanding of the state-based scheme that we have that actually drives investment in renewable energy. I mean, the thing that's driving...
What's the point of having it if it doesn't?
Well, it's an ambition for us because we believe in a clean energy future, and we're certainly prepared to cooperate with companies to achieve that. But, I mean, we would have to physically prevent renewable energy projects in South Australia. If we weren't to essentially adopt the approach we've taken. I mean, what's driving the investment in renewable energy in South Australia is the quality of our wind and solar resources and the federal renewable energy target. I mean, there's something perverse about a federal government that blames South Australia and its renewable energy investment in circumstances where what is driving that investment is the federal renewable energy target, which was actually agreed to by the federal Liberal government.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 12 past eight. Our guest is the South Australian Premier, Jay Weatherill. Premier, some weeks ago, the South Australian government, your government, you, said you'd come up with a major plan to ensure electricity reliability in the future for your state. No more blackouts. It's some weeks past. When are we going to see that?
Very soon.
Can you give us a sense of what's going to be at the centrepiece of it? Is it a new gas-fired power plant?
The centrepiece is taking control of our energy system. I mean, we obviously have an energy market, which means that you can lawfully leave a gas-fired generator, one of the most efficient in the nation, Pelican Point, off so that it causes a blackout in South Australia. Mm. It's a broken system. So we need to have a system which gives South Australians control of its own energy generation, its capacity to get the fuels necessary to generate electricity, and also to make sure it's distributed to where it needs to go.
Okay, so that's when you say very soon, how soon will South Australians know the plan?
Soon.
Weeks?
Well, soon means soon.
On another issue, housing affordability, it's a major issue for many people in some of our capital cities, and the government's clearly working on a package for the May budget, which is likely to include scrapping the housing affordability agreement that has the Commonwealth hand over $1.3 billion a year to the states. But the states are missing many of the key performance indicators on this. Homelessness is on the rise. There are 16,000 fewer public housing units. 20% of the stock is in an unacceptable condition. Hmm. Do the states need to do better? Are they failing on this, taking the money and just failing?
Well, the National Housing Affordability Agreement already represents a cut. I mean,
it's still a lot of money if we're going backwards.
Well, but it's a reduction on what it had previously been put into the states and territories, and this is a massive issue. It certainly isn't going to improve housing affordability to cut the very agreement directed at actually addressing it. There is no doubt there is a massive challenge with affordability. I mean, in South Australia, we have relatively affordable housing, and we've always had a strong commitment to the public provision of housing. And we have a very strong social housing sector, which is growing even more strong. So it's fine to point the finger at states, but many of the important levers are levers which are in the hands of the federal government. We have a federal Labor proposition about reform to the negative gearing arrangements, which would make a positive contribution to housing affordability. It sits there. Much like the energy solutions, it sits there for Malcolm Turnbull to adopt, but because of internal divisions within his party, he simply can't accept it.
Jay Weatherill, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure, thank you.
Jay Weatherill is the Premier of South Australia. It's 8:15 on Breakfast.